First, you're looking at why do we want to look at genotypes? And most of the studies today, if you're looking at association studies or linkage studies, if you want to find a gene or whatever that is associated to a given trait, you are always going to be looking at genotypes. And there are many methods out there. The problem that the microarrays are coming to solve now is how can you make these genotype calls using high throughput technology. So nowadays, using this SNP6 technology by Affymetrix, we can get something like a million SNPs at a time. So given one person, we are able to genotype a million sites on the genome. Okay. Basic idea of the microarray, it is, I think that's 1.2 centimeters squared, the array, and there are probes, millions of those probes that are supposed to attach to the sample that is going to be hybridized. So we are going to get a patient, you draw a blood sample, for example, and you prepare that sample and hybridize to the array. Once it is hybridized, they are going to be tagged, and after they are tagged, it's going to be scanned. So once they are scanned, we have an image like that. We have to work with image analysis at this point and try to assess what is the amount of target that we have for each feature. So every position on this little matrix there is basically one feature, and the feature for us here is a given genomic unit. For SNP arrays, we are talking about a SNP. For expression arrays, we are talking about genes. For tiling arrays, we are talking about specific positions on the genome. So what we first realized on the 100K platform, Affymetrix has basically four big platforms for genotyping. One is the 100K, they have 100,000 sites on the genome. Second one is the 500K, so 500,000. They have the SNP5, which has something like 600,000, if I'm not wrong. And SNP6 that just came out is 950 something, about a million SNPs. So what we observed is, given the probe sequence, so the probe is the molecule that is on the array supposed to attach to the sample. So the probe has a sequence that is 25 bases long. Depending on the base that we have on a given position, we have different effects of hybridization. So if you look, say, at the orange thing, it's pretty much alike, but when the three squares, that the three plots there, are three different labs. So depending on the lab, the first thing that we note is that the effect of that base given position actually changes, and that's something we want to take into account. Next step is the probe actually lives in a given region on the genome. So the way that it is processed, this data, once the material is on the lab, you cut the DNA using an enzyme, say S2Y, Axba, or Hind, and have this DNA amplified by PCR. And here I have the average length of the region that contains the SNP that we are looking at. And all I want you guys to pay attention here is that depending on the size of the fragment, there is a completely different effect. And that's something else that we want to take into account in order to make materials coming from different labs comparable. Second thing is, okay, three colors are three different arrays, the three different labs. And again, we are looking at there, if we just analyze the data like that, we are going to be just comparing things that are not comparable, right? I'm going to be looking at, if I look at orange and I look at level 12, 12 does not mean the same thing for blue, because they are on wrong scales, on different scales. So a next step that we do, we first correct by sequence. It was that first plot that I showed. The second one was for fragment length. And later, at this step, what we do what we call normalization. So normalization at this step is actually going to remove all known biological variants that we have. I mean, not remove all of them, but at least minimize and make labs comparable. So now we are going to start looking at the way that genotype is done today. Early on 2005, Terry Speed came up with an algorithm for genotype calling called Realm. And the basic idea is you get your sample, you do the 2D plot where x-axis is allele A, the b-axis, the y-axis is the allele B. What you want to do is classify who is AA, AB, and BB, right? So what Realm does is it goes to a training data set, it creates these ellipses, and when you have your sample, what you do, you just overlap the data points that you've got with the regions that you computed at the training step. So basically here, what we are looking at is everybody who is AA, they should be down here. Everybody who is AB is supposed to be at the orange class, right in the middle. Everybody who was BB was supposed to be up there. But there is a problem with the design of the probe for this specific SNP. And what happens is we have an overlapping region here. And then you're going to have high misclassification at the overlapping regions, right? So Affymetrix, the manufacturer, saw that and thought, okay, we have a trick to that. We are gonna use a Bayesian step and try to account for the low allele, for the minor frequency alleles. And they came up with an algorithm that they call BRealm. And on that particular SNP, it failed again. And we're like, okay, there must be something we can do about that. And we came up with an algorithm called CRealm, where we do all those corrections that I talked about earlier, and we get those three regions. It's exactly the same SNP. The trick here is that we are not combining information for different probes. So the probe that they have on the array is actually, they have multiple probes for a given SNP, and they have these probes on the two strands of the genome, one in the forward strand, another one on the reverse strand. If we look at the antisense, at the reverse strand, there is no discrimination power whatsoever. And that's where Affymetrix and Terry start failing, actually. So by combining good information, the sense strand, the forward strand, combining good thing with bad thing, not necessarily is a good thing, right? So we would get, they have results like that just because they are combining information from a probe that is not working well on a given strand. And all the processing that we do is actually keeping this strand separate, so we can look later at the log ratios and make the calls using the log ratios. In this case, we are able to detect that this antisense strand does not have any discrimination power. Then we do all our calls using the sense strand. Okay. The other thing is, we have, usually we want to combine information from different labs. You have your big study, you send your samples to different labs, and you once you send the samples to these different labs, what you want to do is just combined genotype calls. But here, the colors are now different labs. And this is what is happening. Green is a lab that is considered good. Okay, so everybody falls right in the ellipses that were computed at the training step. The bluish thing is another lab. We still can see all this discrimination about the genotype groups, but they are all off compared to the ellipses. Orange is another lab. We see just one big blob. Now, what is happening here? What is amazing, at least for us, is if you look at all the orange points, they are, I think, something like 27 points they're supposed to be. They are all the same DNA. They are exactly the same person, just replicated in a bunch of different arrays. And they are all over. Right? They are supposed to be the same person. The genotype does not change because it's the same person. The data is all over. So what we want to do also is when we are looking at data like this, we want to make these things comparable, more comparable actually. So this is what happens with Affymetrix results, and this is what happens with us. So we still, it's not the best thing actually, but it's a little bit better than before. Now, this is where we are making our genotype calls. We are looking at this quantity called log ratio for allele A versus allele B. If the amount of A is way bigger than B, we expect the ratio of A and B to be very big. So all these guys up here are supposed to be AAs. If the amount of A and Bs are approximately the same, the ratio will be 1, the log of 1 will be 0. These guys in the middle are supposed to be ABs. Using the same idea, the guys down there are supposed to be BBs. Another thing we have to take into account here is the average intensity of that SNP is actually a function that depends on both the log ratio is a quantity that depends on both the average intensity and also the genotype. So what we want to do is remove this effect of average intensity from log ratio, but the problem is, okay, I want to make the genotype call using the log ratio, but I want to remove the average intensity effect that also depends on genotype. So we are in that situation. Okay, I want to estimate X, but I need X to estimate itself. And at this step, what are you doing? You're just using an EM algorithm to remove that. And once we run the EM algorithm here, we just get three parallel lines as we were expecting before. This is the effect on fragment length that I showed you guys before. And here's the thing. We have here three different SNPs represented by colors. The regions, those guys that are up there, they are the genotypes AAs. The guys right in the middle are genotypes ABs. Down here, genotypes BB. The problem with a genotype call like that is that depending on the SNP that you're looking at, you actually have to have different parameters. So in our training algorithm, we are keeping track of that and basically just using a mixed model to make the genotype calls. We are now comparing results to BRealm. So BRealm is the standard tool today to make genotype calls. Y-axis, we are looking at accuracy. X-axis, we are looking at drop rate. This is a data set for which we have, allow me call this way, for which we have the true genotype call. So they are 270 samples. All of them are sequenced, and all of them are hybridized to Affymetrix arrays. So given that we have the gold standard calls, we do the calls using both B-Realm and C-Realm and define accuracy as being the percentage of correct calls compared to the gold standard. So orange, we are looking at C-Realm, and bluish, we are looking at B-Realm. Good thing is C-Realm is always up there. When you go to accuracy and confidence, what happens here is each method has a measure of confidence. The problem with Affymetrix is that the confidence does not have a direct link to what percent, the confidence that Affymetrix has is not what we understand by confidence. It is a measure of distance of that call to the next close call. And then what we expect here, again, what this plot means actually is, if you take all the calls from your method, choose either B-Realm or C-Realm, and you say, well, I'm going to make a threshold here, and I want to just keep the call 95% of the best calls. Using C-Realm, the orange one, that means that you're going to drop about 1% of your data. If you go to B-Realm, you're going to be dropping more than 10% of the data. So you're like, okay, what should I do now? Should I just drop more or what? So C-Realm now has a measure of confidence that is directly linked to accuracy, which is not happening right now with Affymetrix method. This is what I just told, and just some acknowledgments to Henrik, Simon. HapMap is the data that we've been using for calibrating the method, Rafa, Robert, and a bunch of other people. And if you guys have any other questions, it's the time. Yeah. My comment on that is we really want to keep working on this track. The problem with that is the amount of data that we are dealing with now. A chip like this has, for one subject, we are talking about 7.5 million observations, just in terms of intensities. So if you're talking about 7.5 times 10 to the sixth, and you multiply that by 300 samples, there is no computer that can handle that. So we are actually just spending lots of time trying to optimize computations in those terms. And I think 5 and 7 years ago, what was making it harder was exactly the resources that you had available. So. Exactly. They are, and right now this, and just as an example of that, right now on the SNP6 platform, they not only have SNPs probes for SNPs, but they also have probes for copy number variants. And basically, what happens there, ideally, is that very soon we are going to have an algorithm that, before doing the genotype call, you're going to be querying the CNV probes in order to assess how many copies of chromosome you have there. Because, say, if using a CNV probe, that let's say two CNV probes that are neighbors with a SNP probe, and the CNV probes just tells you, well, there are three copies of chromosome here. At the end of the day, when you're making the genotype call for that SNP, your calls are not going to be AA, AB, or BB anymore, but they are going to be AAA, AAB, ABB, and up to BBB. So this SNP6 platform is the first step towards that. Well, first thing is the process that is involved in preparing the samples are actually PCR. So it really depends on who is the technician that day, what is the amount of DNA that he used to hybridize, what was the amount of enzymes that were used. So the other thing is, depending on temperature, PCR will have different behavior, right? Will have different performance. And there are a bunch of lab effects that would account for difference on that. But mainly, what we are thinking is the main reason here to see such a variance, such a difference between labs, is actually the PCR step. And there wasn't anything that we could do towards that. But now the trick that we are using trying to correct for that is doing all this normalization against a reference distribution. Instead of doing the normalization within lab, we do against something that we know that is good. We just look. Yeah, it's way less. And this orange sample there is the one that would be able to give us such information, because all those orange points are actually the same person, same DNA. So you could have, for example, this guy here definitely would be called BB, just because it's down there, when actually he's AB. So it can affect you very badly. Yeah, it was exactly that. That's the good thing here. I mean, for this particular work, I think we have data from 5 or 6 different labs. And most of them we have exactly the same samples across labs, which allow us to actually try to estimate lab effect there and have an idea of what is going on.